We're going to talk about the matter of Jehovah's Witnesses, and we introduced that topic last week, and it's really important for us to be thinking about the Jehovah's Witnesses, because they're the kinds of people going to knock on your doors. In fact, unless the Witnesses have totally changed their... thank you for moving. Unless the Jehovah's Witnesses have really changed their attitude, they don't even count you if you're not out knocking doors. To be a Jehovah's Witness and to be at all a member of that, you must devote 8 hours a month. That's 2 hours every week out knocking doors. And some of us have had quite a bit of time in knocking doors. It's got to be the most frustrating thing there is. I mean, what do you do when the witnesses knock on your door? I mean, are you just wonderfully glad to see that they're there to talk to you about the Bible? Or do you hope that that the doorbell doesn't work and that you'd have an excuse for not... You understand what I mean? But they're very, very diligent in reaching out in what they believe. And we need to understand and commend those individuals who willingly do that in the devotion of their faith. And there's some lessons that we need to learn in relationship to that. And for that reason, you're going to meet with the witnesses and they're going to talk to you about their special topics. And they know their topics really well. Whenever I asked you last week about Jehovah's Witnesses and when you think of them, what do you think about? The first word that was used was they're door knockers. And they're connected to the watchtower, and they have their own translation of the Bible, and the only 144,000 are going to heaven. The nature of Jesus, the fact that we'll live on this earth forever and ever. The Lord's Supper, the fact they don't celebrate birthdays, the matter of blood transfusions. And there are some other doctrines that are peculiar to them, and they're very well versed in their verses in the Bible in relationship to that. And so what we're going to do... For tonight and for all of the month of September is to look at some of their teachings and some of their doctrines in relationship to that, so we'll be able to engage them, because we ought not to be fearful of them. If they've got the truth about blood transfusion, that doesn't mean we ought to be Jehovah's Witnesses, but we ought to be Christians who refuse to have blood transfusion. That's the reality. We don't have anything to fear if it's truth, but we do not need to stand back and let people who are spreading false ideas have the field day in relationship with them. We need to know how to talk to them about the matter of blood transfusion, about the 144,000, and about the name Jehovah and the importance of that. And so you and I need to have that understanding and that appreciation of it, because there are doors that are open to us. And my experience before moving to Florida was, having been overseas and then up in the Bible Belt, I thought we'd never be able to change a Jehovah's Witness. That's how indoctrinated they are in their beliefs. But in the 30-something years that I've been here, there have been at least 6 people who have left the Jehovah's Witness religion and embraced the teachings of the Bible and have left that religion. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that some of you played a part in teaching those who were Jehovah's Witnesses and leading them to truth. Because they're all sincere in their belief. And so whenever we begin to talk about that, they're sincere in their beliefs. The problem in discussing things with them has to do with the authority. You would think they believe the Bible, but whenever they're confronted with verses in the Bible that contradict what they say, they're not really on that same page. So here's what I want to talk about tonight. I want us tonight to spend time talking about their attitude toward Jesus. It's a cardinal part of their teachings. Now, there is that other aspect of their teaching, and that is the very name that they wear. And so they are Jehovah Witnesses. And so we may spend some time in the latter part of this hour talking about the use of that name and how they use that name, because they will rarely ever refer to the Father as God. they always refer to Him as Jehovah. And so we need to know where that comes from and why they are on that in that relationship. Here is, I think, a really critical point in relationship to discussing with the Jehovah's Witnesses about their religion, and that is, who is Jesus? Here's the problem. Jesus said, "My Father is greater than I am." And that's one of their verses. You begin talking to them and they'll say, "Who is the greater, the Father or the Son?" And even Jesus Himself said, "My Father is greater than I am." Now, if my Father is greater than I am, then He cannot be equal with the Father. And that's sort of the argumentation, and that's one of the verses that they will use in relationship to this. Well, what does that mean? Well, John Holzer, you have two sons. Are all three of you guys human? At least two of the three are anyway, right, John? You see, to talk about relationship does not talk about nature. You got to understand that. Whenever Jesus says, "My Father is greater than I am," that has nothing at all to do with the nature of Jesus. Let me see if I can illustrate this. What is God? If I say, what is the difference between God and a one-cell amoeba? See a difference in the nature of a single-cell living entity and God? Yeah, I can see the difference. What is the difference in the nature of God and give me some other small animal, a spider? Or one that you'll really love, a roach. Any difference between you and a roach? Are you greater than a roach? Yeah, why? Because we're not the same nature. And you've got to understand, as we keep going up the level, you know, what is there above a roach? Would you put, and where would you put cats? And where would you put dogs? And where would you put pigs? And where would you put horses? And where would you put chimpanzees? And you keep going up this level, and finally you get to men, people. Well, what's above people? Well, they're angels. And above this, and I'll mention this in passing, though the next one is also an angel. An archangel. You read in the Bible about Michael, an archangel. And then there's God. What is God? Well, by the very definition, God is that entity that is at the top of the list. Does that make sense? Now the question is, are the Jehovah's Witness right in saying, and here's what they believe, that Jesus is a created being? Got to get that in your mind. Whenever they talk about Jesus not being God, they believe that Jesus is a created being. Just like God created Adam and Eve. And just like God created angels, God needed someone to die on the cross. And so He created Jesus to die on the cross. And so whenever you talk to Jehovah's Witnesses and you begin discussing the matter of Jesus, you need to have an understanding that they don't believe Jesus was there in the beginning as God. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. John chapter 1 talks about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 3. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Now, leave that in its context for just a minute, and let's identify who the Word is. In John 1, who is the Word? And how do you know that, and you're absolutely right, how do you know that Jesus is the Word? Look at verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So who's the Word? That's Jesus. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a created being. Look at verse 3. That's right. All things were made through Him. Through whom? Through the Word. All things were made through Him, through the Word, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now, look at the problem verse 3 gives to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus is a thing, an archangel that was made. Well, what's verse 3 say? Everything that has been made was made through Jesus. It is impossible, if Jesus is the one identified as the one through whom all things were made, it is impossible for Him to be a made thing. Because you see, if Jesus is that which was made, and everything that has been made was made through Him, the words will not allow for Jesus to be a made thing. And you've got to understand the force of that. Now, you and I understand this passage rather easily. That was Jesus there in the beginning? Yes. How do I know that? That's what John 1:1 says. Now, was He with God? Yes. But look at the last part of that statement. He was God. Now, here you've got to re-identify something, and that is to come to a realization that the Father is God. That whenever we talk about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit, we're really talking about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is God the Father. No one I know questions that at all. Well, do we know that the Holy Spirit is God? Is the Holy Spirit equal with God? You see, what is God? Here's the top. Right at the very top is God. Now, under that is everything that has been made, and everything that has been made through the Word. But if everything that has been made through the Word, then the Word could not be made through the Word. Language will not allow that. The Word had to exist before anything that was made was made, and therefore the Word must predate. The Word must predate all that is created. And so there's no way they can be right for Jesus to be a created being if everything that was made through Him, because He existed before everything was made. I hope you understand that. Was the Holy Spirit there in the creation? Do you know if the Holy Spirit was there in the creation? Do you know where that verse is that mentions the Holy Spirit there in the creation? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and what does the next part say? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Was the Holy Spirit there? Absolutely. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says that in the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. Now, do we know the Holy Spirit is God? Yes. How do we know that? Well, in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira came and lied about the property that they had sold, and when they brought the money, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to whom?" To the Holy Spirit. Look down in verse 4, the last part of this. "You have not lied to men, but lied to whom?" To God. Who had they lied to? They had lied to the Holy Spirit. And when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they lied to God. Because there is God the Spirit. How do I know that? Because that's what Acts chapter 5 says. Whenever they lied to the Holy Spirit, and to lie to the Holy Spirit is to lie to God. That means that when in Genesis chapter 1, God said, "Let me make man after my image." That's not what it says, is it? God said, "Let us make man after our image." God said, "We are us." In Isaiah chapter 6, God said, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for?" Not for me. "Who will go for us?" Well, why? Why do you have the God's, or pardon me, God said, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" How can there be a singular God and an us God? See the singular? "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And the answer is the unity of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses will say to you, "We don't believe in three gods. You believe in three gods." No, I don't. I believe the Lord our God is one. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 6 says. There is one God, and that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now that much I know. There are some questions that can be asked that is difficult for individuals to understand. Yes, Richard? Yes. Well, they believe they're the only one people on this earth who believe, who know the name of Jehovah, know the name of God. God's name is Jehovah. They, in their minds, they're only referring to God the Father. But, you know, to them, there is no God Jesus. There is no God Spirit. No, it's in reference. Jesus, in their idea, Jesus is not Jehovah. I'm going to show you a verse. Before this class ends, I'm going to show you a verse that absolutely demands that Jesus is Jehovah. There's no answer to that verse. I'm going to show you that Jesus is Jehovah. The name, if we say Godhead, if you will think of one, when I say Godhead, I'll use the word Godhead. In the beginning, the Godhead created the heavens and the earth. And the Godhead said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" That's the biblical understanding of Jehovah. The witnesses' view of all of this is only the Father. That the only Jehovah there is. And they would not say the Father, but so you'll understand, so we can communicate. The only Jehovah there is Jehovah the Father. Does that answer your question? And they are witnessing for Jehovah. And you listen to them when they talk. Every now and then they'll talk about God, but almost all of the times they will not even use the word God to refer to Him. They'll use the word Jehovah. And so they believe that they are the peculiar people on this earth who bear witness to Jehovah. We are witnesses. We are Jehovah's witnesses. And by that, no reference at all to Jesus in their mind.
Do they believe that Jehovah God created Jesus?
Yes, they believe Jehovah God created Jesus, and Jesus is not Jehovah. Jesus is an angel. Jesus is not God. Jesus is an angel. And so Jehovah God, when I say to the witnesses that the Bible says Jesus is Jehovah, they cannot begin to comprehend what I'm even saying. They think that I'm saying that the Jehovah of the Old Testament came and lived on this earth, and that and they said, "Oh no, you know." They're not on that page at all. Every time they use the word Jehovah, they're only talking about the Father. There is no Holy Spirit with them. There is no entity that you and I would have. I mean, they say the word Holy Spirit is used in the Bible. But when you and I talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about at the baptism of Jesus, someone was in heaven, someone was on this earth, and someone was in between. And so Jehovah is in heaven, but he who is on the earth is not Jehovah. He is an angel that Jehovah created, if that makes it clear. Now, in reference to the Spirit, let me just go ahead and throw this in. They do not believe you have a soul. They do not believe you have a spirit. They believe that whenever you die, that's all there is. And there you have no soul, you have no spirit. Now, verses like Jesus on the cross, whenever he says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." The word spirit to them means breath, air. Like you expire, you know, you just breathe out your breath. And so there is no spirit and this is where you have trouble communicating with them. When I talk about the Holy Spirit, I'm so far removed in my concept of it than their concept, because they do not believe that there is God the Spirit or God the Son. There's only God the Father, but they won't use the expression God the Father. I mean, I guess they would. I mean, they'd say you can think of Jehovah as a Father. But you and I, when we talk about God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son, we're talking about three who are equal. And to them, there's no equality at all. There's only Jehovah God. Diane, you had a question.
In their Bible, do they have the equivalent of the Old Testament?
Yes. Diane asked about the Jehovah's Witness Bible. It's rather ironic. They had to come out with their own translation. We'll get back to John 1:1, and I'll show you what they do in John 1 when it says, "And the Word was God." And they'll say, "Well, let me just show you here in the Greek what it says." And so they'll pull out their translation, and they will quote their translation. Dave, you had a comment. That's right. And it's real interesting, and that's sort of the argumentation they make, and it's not a valid argument. The first thing that God created was Jesus, and after that, all things that were created through Jesus. That's their understanding of John 1:1. That is not what John 1:1 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Jehovah, and the Word was Jehovah. He was God. Now, I don't use the word Jehovah because that's not the Greek word that's here. Jehovah is an Old Testament word, the name of the Father. And then they'll say, well, Jesus is after Jesus was created, then verse 3 says, all things that were created were made through Him. That's not what verse 3 says. Verse 3 says, everything that has been created was made through Jesus. Therefore, Jesus could not be a created thing. He has to exist before any created thing. Okay, let me. Was there a comment over here? Heard a voice. Yes, Dan.
Can I get to John 10?
Yeah, we'll get there in a minute. Okay, we can probably spend 2 weeks on the very nature of Jesus because there's a lot of interest on your face and a lot of confusion in some faces here that are here right now. Here's what the Jehovah's Witnesses do to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was A with a little G. He was a God. He was less than God. He was a little God. He was a sub-God. And they had to bring out their own translation to find a Bible that says that. Now the reality is, whenever they say, well, look at the Greek. Well, you want to look at the Greek down in verse 6. You look at the Greek in John chapter 1 and verse 6. There was a man sent from. And guess what that word is there? It is the exact same Greek construction found in verse 1. When it says, and the Word was God, and they said, well, that must be translated a God. Well, you want to look at the Greek? I'll look at the Greek with you. You want to look at verse 6? John the Baptist was a man sent from whom? You know what the Witness Bible says? Capital G there. They're dishonest in use of the Greek. In fact, they have been asked repeatedly to tell anybody on this earth who made that New World Translation of the Bible. Let's see the scholarship of those individuals who made that translation. And they refused to do it because it's not made by Greek scholars. And all the way through the Bible, time after time, I once made this study, and I've got the note somewhere, of how far you would have to read in every epistle before you ran across the word God without the word the in front of it. And it's remarkable. You hardly have to read more than 3 or 4 or 5 verses in every one of the epistles of Paul before Paul talks about God without the word the in front of it. You know? And so they're dishonest in relationship to it. It is a matter of convenience that they come and they'll say, well, look at verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and was the Word, and the Word was with the God, and the Word was a God with a little g. And only their translation says that. And you've got to understand, they're dishonest whenever they say that. Do you know what John 1:1 says? He was with God and He was God. That's the nature of Him. And so whenever you ask a Jehovah's Witness, do you believe in Jesus? They're on a different Jesus from the one that we're on. Daniel, what's that verse in John 10? John 10:30. John chapter 10, verse 30. Look at John 10, verse 30. I am my Father are one. Isn't that amazing? It's not that my Father is above me and I'm below my Father. I and my Father are one. It's somewhere in the book of John. Whenever Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And we get back to John, to your boys in relationship to this verse. They wanted to kill Jesus because... Wait, what verse is it? Yes. Okay. But it says, whenever he called himself, whenever he said, I am the Son of God, that made him equal with God. Somebody got the concordance. Look up the word equal and find it in the book of John. Whenever Jesus said, I am the Son of God, he thereby made himself equal with God. And that's true. What is the nature, John Holzer, of your sons? They are every bit as much human as you are. And whenever Jesus says, I am the Son of God, that in and of itself is a claim, an affirmation of Jesus of deity. Well, now, why did Jesus say, my Father is greater than I am? Well, I'll tell you why. Because when Jesus came and lived on this earth, he came and he was capable of being tempted. Can God be tempted? No. But Jesus was tempted. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. Here is the explanation as to why Jesus said that my Father is greater than I am. Philippians chapter 2 says, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Would it be robbery for me to say I'm God? Yeah, be a joke. Why? Because I'm not God. And I would be robbing God of godness. But when Jesus, watch this, was in the form of God, it was not robbery for him to say, I am God. That's what Philippians 2 says. But then it says, but, Philippians 2 verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. Some of you have got the old King James, Diane. I saw you look at the old King James. Was not something that was to be held on to. It doesn't have the word robbery. It was not to be something that was to be held on to. But he turned it loose and he emptied himself, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. Could God be hungry? No. Was Jesus hungry? Absolutely. Why? Because when Jesus came on this earth, he was less than God. You know, he was the Son of God, but he was the Son of man. And while he was on this earth, he could be tempted. Can God die? No. Did Jesus die? Absolutely. And so Jesus was there in heaven, and Jesus came and lived on this earth. And when he lived on this earth, he gave up something. And while he was on this earth and had given up something, he says, my Father is greater than I am. He is. But you see, whenever he ascended back into heaven, God restored to him that which he had. Verse 8 said, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. He's above every name there is. When he was on this earth, before he was on this earth, he was Jehovah. When he came to this earth, he was less than what he was in heaven. And then God gave him a name that is above every name. Bell's going to get us in about 3 minutes. Look in the book of Isaiah. I want to show you what I believe is the death to this matter of the deity of Jesus. When I'm with the Jehovah's Witnesses, I don't have to find where this is. I just say, show me that verse that's God says, you are my witnesses. I didn't write this down. It's in the 40s. Anybody say, you are my witnesses? I'm my Savior beside me. There is no... Anybody got a concordance in your phone? You can look up the word witness in the book of Isaiah. What? How many? 43:10. Yes. Watch it. Look at 43:10. Jehovah's Witnesses says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, says Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be any after me. Now look at look at the next verse. I am Jehovah, and besides me there is no Savior. Jehovah's Witness is Jesus' Savior. And I've never asked a witness that would not say, yes, Jesus is Savior. I mean, you got to deny the whole New Testament to arrive at the point where anybody would say Jesus is not Savior. And yet the Bible says, I am Jehovah, and besides me there is no Savior. If Jesus is Savior, then Jesus is Jehovah. There is no answer. There's not even a quibble. There's not quibble room for the Jehovah's Witness to come up with even the semblance of an answer that says there is no Savior but Jehovah. Is the Father our Savior? Yes. Is Jesus our Savior? Yes. Because you see, the Father is Jehovah and Jesus is Jehovah. And if Jesus is our Savior, then He is Jehovah. Because it's one of the strongest affirmations of the deity of Christ I've ever seen. And it's rather ironic how I found this study. Anybody remember Doug and Marcy Berry? They were part of the church way, way back yonder in the old building. Their background was the Witnesses, and I was having a study, and the Witnesses were really hurting in that study, and the man in the study told his wife, well, read that verse. And she read, you're my witnesses, and then he says, just keep reading. I did not even know this verse was in the Bible. And I said, would you read that verse again? I am Jehovah, and besides me there is no Savior. Two questions answers it. When the witnesses knock on my door, I said, here's what I believe. I said, do you believe Jesus is your Savior? They'll say, yes. I do too. I believe that Jesus is Savior. But if Jesus is Savior, then Jesus is Jehovah. And so in the Old Testament, whenever you read about God, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Don't think of the Father. That's the way I thought about it. That's not what Genesis 1:1 says. In the beginning, Jehovah created the heavens and the earth. What part did the Father play in it? We know His part. What part did Jesus play? He was the agency through which God, Jehovah, created everything. What about the Spirit? The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. But you've got to understand, I am Jehovah, and besides me there is no Savior. We'll take up with this next Wednesday, and we'll try to pull all of this together And forgive me if I had a wrong attitude when I expressed my disappointment about you not moving to the front. But I'm glad that you did. Thank you very much.